I say we are not dead, we are alive. We are alive, we are alive.
I love to praise
we are alive
today.
To the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay, but those of you joining us around the world, let's greet the bride of Christ around the world. Let's see if they are with us. You are joining us around the world and we can see you. You can see us through Zoom or by faith. You are not on Zoom, but in the spirit we are together. Let them wave their hands. Wave your hands. Wave their hands. Let them wave their hands. And let's greet each other. Let's wave our hands to them too. Let's wave our hands to them as they are waving their own hands to us. And the bride of Christ will say, Shalom, Shalom, Shalom. Shalom, 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 Shalom. God bless you. Amen. Hymn number 229 speaks about, I love him, that man of Calvary is the fairest of all to me. We'll sing that song, then we will sit down for our Bible study this morning.
Fairest of all.
all. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on the cross of Calvary. Text for our Bible study this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 1 verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And may the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. I'm looking at a topic that I know I will not finish today, but we are starting today. that are titled The Vessels of the Lord. The Vessels of the Lord. That great house spoken of is the Church of the Living God. And the Lord of that house is the Lord Jesus himself. And everyone that is in the body of Christ or in the church of Christ, let me use the word, there's a difference between the body of Christ and the church of Christ in its proper usage now. Everyone, we are servants of God. Everyone God is using in one way or the other, we are servants of God. Though, sometimes I look at the whole world through the eyes of revelation that God has given some of us. Revelation is important, brethren. Revelation is important. Brethren, revelation is important. It determines how you serve God. I'm telling you, it determines how you serve God. When you see people who come to Christ only for what they are expecting God to do for them, it's because of the revelation they have. But there are also some that their relationship with Christ is for better, for worse. If it is good, praise God. If it is bad, it doesn't change their relationship with him. It's a revelation that brings you to that. And the greatest deception that Satan has made man to have is to blind. Apostle Paul say, if our gospel be hid to anyone at all, it is hidden because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Blind your eyes to what? There is a reality, brethren. There is life after this life. Now, there are not even people sitting that may be hearing me now, not all actually believe it. Now, it is one thing to confess it. It's another to believe what you are confessing. You see, the Bible says, the psalmist, he said, the fool has said in his heart that what? There is no God. He didn't say it with his mouth. He said it in his heart. For out of the abundance of the heart. Okay, now. Whatever lifestyle you are living today, it is from your heart. And why did he say you are a fool that said there is no God? Because when you see a human being living his life without acknowledging God, then you know how foolish he is. And when God loves us so much, knowing what is ahead of mankind, the destruction that is awaiting man, and he grants you opportunity to be saved, and you turn into religion, you are finished. What other way do you want God to do it for you? That's where the foolishness is. To worship God, some people are thinking they are doing God a favor. Christianity has been reduced until when somebody is coming to your church, pastoring a church. There are people that come to your church and make it look as if they are doing you a favor by worshiping in your church. So when they want to deal with you, they will stop coming to your church so that you'll be angry. And some do it even in brother assembly. I'll be laughing at them. I say, you don't know who is your pastor. You do that to people who have made ministry a business. They're destroying their business. If you don't come, their tithe will reduce. I think by now I have made my position clear to all my followers. And I will never stop talking. For I am ordained to talk. And I will preach. If you refuse, it's even a revelation. The level of your revelation determines how you worship God, and you think when you bring tithe, you bring offering, you are doing God a favor. I believe that brother from Abba, you are hearing me now. I had to speak with you. He said for some years, he stopped paying tithe. But he discovered that, he was not paying tithe, but he was prospering. So what's the need to pay tithe? He was prospering. Business was booming. So he just felt it was not necessary, because he was taught that you pay tithe so that you will prosper. If that is your revelation, since you are prospering, you don't need to pay tithe. You are correct. Amen. You pay tithe by contract. I'm making this so that you'll understand why I want to say what I want to say this morning. You are paying tithe, you are bringing offering, you are doing things so that God will bless you. No, 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 no. Praise the Lord. My wife is not cooking for me or helping me to do anything so that I will bless her with, I will give her gifts, I will give her money, I will buy things for her. No, 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 no. She's doing it because it is her duty to do it. It's her duty to do it. Amen. May God help us. Anyway, I had to tell that brother, and I'm sure, brother, you are listening to me now, because you told me you gathered somewhere to watch us every service. You are a member online. And even he told me that now suddenly you started feeling guilty, and that is a manifestation of the Spirit. That is evidence of the Holy Ghost. When you are doing something bad, he will convict you. And so my brother has sat down and is calculating the 2 years or so that he didn't pay his tithe, and he said he has decided, Lord, forgive me, all the tithe I'm owing you, I'm going to pay you back. And he has started last week. He paid 1 million naira. He said, now from now on, he doesn't, what he's owing is much. He's hoping that God will have mercy on him. He will pay all. I had to tell him, sir, God is more interested in repentance than restitution. Listen very well. Nobody owes God tithe. Nobody owes God tithe. Listen very well. I had to tell my brother, stop it. Remove that load from your head. You don't owe God anything. What God wants you to do is, from now on, repent and start paying your tithe. That's all. Now, not too many pastors will talk like this, isn't it? Because he's owing millions in tithe. And I'm telling you, no, 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 remove that load. You don't owe God anything. And this, he sent 1 million to this church. Oh, praise God. I will tell you the truth. That is my ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. My wife sometimes will remind me when I finish sermon and I was blasting something, she will tell me, You know, I know you were talking to yourself. I said you caught it. I was rebuking myself with the sermon I was preaching. Yes. I will tell myself the truth and tell you too the truth. This heaven, I must go. Oh, yes. I know too much and to play with my eternal destination. What's the purpose of this sermon I'm preaching today? Vessels of the Lord. The purpose is for you to listen, catch a revelation, and respond to what Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read it from verse 8 to verse 12.
For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to...
Again, start again, verse 10.
Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall.
If you do this, ye shall never fall. Verse 11.
For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you once know them and be established in the present
in
truth.
In the present truth. That's the whole reason we are doing all this. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, this is the way Apostle Paul also admonished that vessel of the Lord. Verse 14 and verse 15.
These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly.
Verse 15, note it.
But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave
so
thyself.
So that you, vessel of God, you will know how to behave yourself. In the house of God, which is
the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth.
Verse 15 again.
But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth.
That is the whole purpose. You are called so that you will know how to do your ministry. So that you will know how to behave yourself, servant of God. All of us are called by God. Now there's this mystery that many of us may not have pondered over. In Romans chapter 9, let's read it from verse 6 up to verse 23.
Not as though the word of God had taken none effect.
Now listen very well.
For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel.
It's not everybody that is in Israel that is from Israel. They are all carry Israeli passport, but not all of them are from Israel. Israel, they are not part of that promise that God has given Jacob. Go on.
Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children.
But don't just say, hey, Abraham is my father. Not all, because there is Ishmael also. Go ahead.
But in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
Among those children of God, there is one that is a vessel of honor, and there is one that is not of honor.
That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God.
Carnal Christians are not children of God. They are not Christians.
But the children of the promise are counted for the seed.
Okay. Now there is a promise. If that promise is not fulfilled in you, you cannot be a seed of God. We must be product of a promise, not product of an idea of man. We must be product of a promise by God, not a product of a carnal arrangement by man. Oh, I wish I can stress this thing. See, Ishmael, amen, came from Abraham, but it was not by the promise of God. It was by the idea of Sarah and her husband. I repeat, amen. Oh, glory be to God. Ishmael and Isaac are sitting down here, maybe sitting down here listening to me now. There are some of you, that we are dragged to come here. There are some of you that are here to just to please your person where they stay with. And generally in the church of the living God, Church of Jesus Christ, there are pastors and ministers that are produced from man-made production centers called schools of theology. And there are those that are servants of God by prophecy from their mother's womb. Oh, oh. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While there was a school of theology in Israel, Christ was shown who he should appoint as his disciples. He went to call fishermen. He went to call tax collectors. He went to call there were people, ordinary people on the street who didn't go to the school of Gamaliel. He went to call them to be his disciples. Please continue that reading. Let the people understand this mystery.
Verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son.
It is thus saith the Lord, a son is coming, and no matter how long, no matter how long it has taken, that son will come. And no matter how Christianity has been messed up by the carnal arrangement of sometimes with the eye of revelation, where when we look at what is happening in Christendom, then you'll understand how Lot was feeling when he was in Sodom and Gomorrah. You just will see how Christianity has been turned upside down. Preachers are now equated and they are competing with Nollywood and Hollywood stars to have fans. Preachers, Church of Jesus Christ has been reduced to entertainment centers. Church of Jesus Christ has been reduced to what we see today, lifeless places. Church of Jesus Christ has been reduced to a state where no respect, no regard anymore for anything Christian. Read on.
Verse 10. And not only this,
yes,
but when Rebecca also had conceived by one.
Now listen to another mystery.
Even by our father Isaac.
Yes.
For the children being not yet born.
Yes.
Neither having done any good or evil.
Uh-huh.
That the purpose of God according to election.
Now we're looking at God's sovereignty now. Sovereignty now. Because you must not question him. You must not question God. Go ahead.
Not of works.
Yes.
But of him that calleth.
Yes.
It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Now listen. There is something that Apostle Paul is trying to establish in this statement. First and foremost, because he balanced it up in other episodes. He said, don't question God concerning his sovereignty. We are called just to obey. Stop. If you begin to question God, then you don't understand the sovereignty of God. Then he said, question him now. Two children are in the womb before they are born. He said he loved when he hates the other one. That's what he's telling you. Well, we know that it is because of foreknowledge he knew who one will be, the other one, and what each of them will turn out to be later. So God sees your future and relates with you based on how your future will look like. Praise God. So is it possible for him to call a prostitute, my daughter, come, my daughter, let me talk to you? Is it possible? You're not understanding me. Is it possible to, an armed robber is going to rob. After robbing, he's going, he will say, my son, listen to me. Is it possible? Why will he call an armed robber my son when he's robbing now? Foreknowledge. He knows that in future, this armed robber is going to be a preacher later on. Amen. But before then, let's look at God's sovereignty. Continue.
Verse 14. What shall we say then?
Yes.
Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid.
Yes, now.
For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
See, I will have mercy on whom I will. Don't ask me why I choose to have mercy. I don't have any reason to explain to you. I'm not answerable to you. I do what I like.
And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Yes.
So then, it is not of him that willeth.
It's not of him that willeth.
Nor of him that runneth.
Of him that runneth.
But of God that showeth mercy.
It is God that showeth mercy. Hey, hallelujah. Go on.
For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh.
Now listen now. Pharaoh.
Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. That I might show my power in thee. And that my name might be declared throughout all the earth.
Go on.
Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou will say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against
God? Who are you to question God?
Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?
Okay, now.
Verse 20, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against
God? Why are you arguing with God concerning his creature?
Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?
Dude, let me make you understand this scripture very well. Shall the thing that is formed, Brother Jose, come. Brother Jose, come. Brother Onya, come. Come. Amen. Don't you desire to be like this? Tall like this?
Of course.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it pleased God to make him taller than you. You are not short, but he's taller than you. Now, if you go and wear high heel shoe so that you will be reach his height, you are questioning God. Why did he make you like this? Men don't have that problem. It's women that have that problem. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. It's women that have that problem. Whichever way God has made you, glorify him in it. He made you like that for a purpose. For his own purpose. God. It is women, oh, because the God of fashion. For you to see a young girl in this age. A young girl in this age. To appear natural and maintain the natural beauty is very rare. It doesn't just take the Holy Ghost. It takes extra dose of Holy Ghost. It's lack of understanding. And when you do that, you are questioning your maker. Why did you make me like this? Why are you putting those long hairs? Those attachments you put. You want to look like some other creature that God made in India. You want to make like some other creatures that God made with long hair. You go and buy all manner of things and put. And your true identity is actually missing. Both in heaven and on earth. As a truth. That's why I said, you can never serve God beyond the revelation you have. That's why you have to study. Don't just be a Christian without studying to know this God and how he wants you to serve him. That's the truth. And see, go and see. The modern girl now, everything from head to toe is artificial. Every everything from head to toe is makeup. Do you know the meaning of makeup? That is, there is something wrong somewhere. You are making it up. That's the meaning of makeup. Yes, now. Since I have a flat bottom, let me lift it up with high heel. It's a makeup. Read on.
Verse 21. Has not the potter power over the clay?
Has not the potter that forms clay and forms the image of what he has in mind, has he not the power over the clay to do what?
Of the same lump.
To
make one vessel unto honor.
You will make one vessel and beautify it and keep it where visitors will come and they will admire, and you will see.
And another
it.
Unto dishonor.
And then another, you will keep it inside toilet.
What if God, willing to show his wrath,
yes,
and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?
Now people don't understand verse 22. Read it again.
Verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath?
Now he's willing to show his anger. What does he do?
And to make his power known.
And you make his power known to the whole world. What does he do?
Endured with much long suffering.
He will endure. That is why wickedness is striving. God is enduring. Uh-huh.
The vessels of wrath fitted to destruction.
Uh-huh.
And that he might make known the riches of his glory.
And so that you will make known the riches of his glory.
On the vessels of mercy.
You and I.
Which he are for, prepared unto glory.
Prepared unto what? Unto glory. He has prepared some people unto glory. And there are some people that are prepared for hellfire. Will you question God? We cannot question him. Verse 11, Revelation chapter 4. What does it say?
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power.
Uh-huh.
For thou hast created all things.
He created all things.
And for thy pleasure.
For his own pleasure.
They are.
They exist.
And we are created.
And they were created. It's for his own pleasure. He is the potter. He said that songwriter said, have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. You are the potter, I am the clay. Shall come from one that has revelation that I am only a clay in the hand of God. I cannot question him. He's my maker, he's my creator. Let's understand this call of God. These vessels of God. We all know Matthew 11:28. It says, come to me. That is the beginning of the call. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the call we all have responded to. Hallelujah. And the emphasis in John chapter 4, chapter 6 and verse 44.
John 6:44.
Yes.
No man can come to me.
Nobody can even come.
Except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Anybody that is a Christian today, anyone that is a Christian today, is God that drew you by himself. How does he draw you? Verse 45.
It is written in the prophets.
Yes.
And they shall be all taught of God.
They have to be taught revelation. Revelation. Uh-huh.
Every man therefore that
has heard
and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me.
Except the Father has taught you. Except you have heard of the Father who the Son is. Before you can come to his Son. So people hear of a church instead of hearing of Christ in that church. That is why people advertise their church. instead of advertise the presence of God in that church. Unless the Father revealed to you as he revealed to Peter. Flesh and blood did not reveal that I am Christ, the Son of the living God, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this revelation, I build my church. It's a rock. And the gates of hell, like cannot prevail, because you will be too rooted in that revelation for any wind, for any storm to blow you out. You may leave a church, but you will not leave Christ. Oh, somebody, you don't understand me. You can leave Brother Assembly, but with that revelation, you cannot leave Christ. You only change address as to where to worship. And no church is a gateway to heaven, but many churches are gateways to hell. I'm speaking grammar. No church is a gateway to heaven, but many churches are gateways to hell. So that you'll understand this call of God, Luke chapter 10, from verse 17 to 21, we are doing Bible study.
Luke 10, 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents.
Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions.
And over all the power of the enemy.
I anoint you, I give you power. Anointed ones at the end time. Go ahead.
And nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Nothing at all will hurt you,
notwithstanding,
because I gave you the authority.
In this, rejoice not.
But don't rejoice that what?
That the spirits are subject unto you.
But rejoice where?
But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Because your names are written in heaven. Go on, verse 21.
In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father.
Listen very well. This verse is very important to what we are saying today.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Yes.
That thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent.
He has hidden it. Not everybody know this revelation.
And has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man...
Okay, it's all right. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. There are many people that are serving God, and they don't know what it takes to serve God. And they don't know what kind of relationship you have with God that is using you. And in this church, where we encourage gifts, I have emphasized this several times. And to the bride of Christ worldwide, listen, because this revelation is not given to everybody. I am called. God called me. You will hear people say, as God called Moses, he called me too. They are challenging me. And there is nothing wrong with that. God cannot call only me. As he called me, now so he called you. But this call, we are vessels of God to be used. In fact, another scripture speaks about treasures hidden in earthly vessels. We have a treasure that is hidden.
2 Corinthians 4, verse 7.
Read it for me, brother.
But we have this treasure.
We have this treasure in earthly, these vessels, these human beings we are ordinary clay, earth.
That the excellency of the power may be of God.
And not of us. What is this treasure? What is this treasure? Is this revelations that God gives us? Is this Holy Ghost that God gives us? It's a serious treasure. Where is it hidden? In a human being. In a clay like you and me. But many people don't seem to understand this call. God call me. Let me begin today to make you understand this call of God. You are called vessels of God. In fact, some churches don't even call the gifted brothers and sisters gifted brothers. They call them vessels. Some intermediate church, they call them vessels. They say there's a vessel. There are some vessels that God is using in this church. They call them vessels. Now, these vessels, there are three types of vessels. Number one vessel is the vessel of honor. Number two, the second vessel is the vessel of dishonor. And the third vessel, a very interesting one, they are borrowed vessels. Vessel of honor, vessel of dishonor, and borrowed vessels. And these vessels, take note, they are all called by God. Himself. Himself. Called by himself. By himself. Not somebody brought them to him. Oh, he by himself called. Not they came on their own. Oh, not the ones that came on their own. We are talking of vessels that God himself. And therefore they will be genuine vessels. Confirmed vessels. No argument. That's why I say be very careful how you condemn the anointing that is going on around some men of God. You can condemn their characters, but don't condemn the anointing. It's revelation. All are called by God. Therefore, all are servants of God himself. And all fulfill God's purpose for that great mystery of redemption. This call is for the purpose of fulfilling God's mystery of salvation. So let's pick the first one now. The vessels. The first one I'm picking today is the vessel of dishonor. That's the one I want to start with today. This vessel of dishonor, they are those, listen, the identification, God will use them and destroy them later. God is the one that called them and used them, and he will destroy them later. And I give you a perfect example in Ezekiel chapter 14. From verse 9.
Ezekiel 14:9. And if the prophet be deceived,
Again.
And if the prophet be deceived, when he had spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and will destroy him from the midst of my people.
Okay, so that they will understand how God used him. Then, after using him, he will destroy them. Go to verse one. From verse one,
then came certain of the elders of Israel.
Remember. He said he's a prophet. Therefore, he's a vessel of God. He's a vessel that can contact the living God. God gave him that gift, the ability to speak to him, and he will talk to him back. Not everybody has that. For the word of the Lord to the people always come through the prophet. So, if anybody says he's a prophet, it means he has the ability to talk to God and God will talk back to him. And he's always there when God, again, wants to talk to his people or talk to anybody. He's there ready for God to use for that purpose. That's why he's called a prophet. Now, listen from verse 1 in Israel.
Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me,
yes,
and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts.
Now, this revelation is being given to Ezekiel. A mystery is being revealed to Ezekiel. Go on.
And put the stumbling block of their iniquity before
their face. He said, these men have set up the idols in their heart. That is, they have made up their mind what to do.
Should I be inquired of at all by them?
Okay.
Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophets, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols.
God will answer by himself. He will answer the way he will answer you. He will answer through that prophet according to the multitude of the idols in your heart. Go on.
That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart.
In their own heart.
Because they are all estranged from me through their idols.
Uh-huh.
Therefore say unto the house of Israel,
uh-huh.
Thus saith the Lord God,
uh-huh.
Repent and turn yourselves from your idols,
uh-huh.
And turn away your faces from all your abominations.
Uh-huh.
For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel,
uh-huh.
Which separated himself from me,
uh-huh.
And setteth up his idols in his heart,
uh-huh.
And putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face,
uh-huh.
And cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me.
What will happen?
I, the Lord, will answer him by myself.
I will answer him by myself. Hey, verse 9.
And I will set my face against that man,
uh-huh.
And will make him a sign and a proverb,
uh-huh.
And I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord.
I beg verse 8 again.
And I will set my face against that man.
Go to verse 7 again.
For every one of the house of Israel,
listen very well,
or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel,
uh-huh.
Which separated himself from me.
You have separated yourself from me. You have decided not to obey my word, but to live your own kind of life. And yet you still want to come to God to make inquiry concerning the things you want to do, Abby. Go ahead.
And setteth up his idols in his heart.
Yes.
And putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face.
Uh-huh.
And cometh to a prophet, uh-huh. To inquire of him concerning, uh-huh. Me.
Yes.
I, the Lord, will answer him by myself.
After that, what happened?
And I will set my face against that man.
Uh-huh.
I will make him a sign, uh-huh. And a proverb.
Uh-huh.
And I will cut him off from the midst of my people.
Uh-huh.
And ye shall know that I am the Lord.
Then verse 9.
And if the prophet be deceived,
yes.
When he had spoken a thing,
yes.
I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet.
Huh? Can God deceive somebody? Can God deceive somebody? I preached a message that I titled some years back, Deceived by God. Some people, when they see the topic, these very, very religious people, instead of the topic to awaken their curiosity, they will say, the blind people, how can God deceive? You didn't listen to it. Even the action of you not listening to it is a deception. Can God deceive somebody? Are we together? It's not me now. This is the Bible. He said, read it again, verse 9.
Verse 9.
Yes.
And if the prophet be deceived.
If a prophet is deceived.
When he has spoken a thing.
When he has spoken a thing.
I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet.
I, the Lord, I am the one that deceived that prophet. Can God deceive a prophet? If he gives. Amen. The mystery. Working with God is very serious matter. Now finish that scripture.
And I will stretch out my hand upon him.
After he has deceived that prophet, what will he do?
And I will stretch out my hand upon him.
I will deal with him.
And will destroy him.
I will destroy him.
From the midst of my people Israel.
Now so, both the deceived and the deceiver, God will destroy. Now my emphasis is on that prophet for today. Is he not a vessel of God? Is he not a vessel of God? But why is he a vessel of dishonor? Because in Israel they will not go to Ezekiel. They will not go to Isaiah. They will not go to Jeremiah. They cannot go to Micaiah. There are specific prophets that they can go to. There are prophets, hallelujah, that bless people in their iniquity. There are prophets that pray for cocaine pushers. You are a vessel of dishonor. You know that the person staying before you is doing. See, I told you, I say, They have brought when we needed money more than anything before here. All we needed was 16 million naira to be able to go and pay and for this land. And we didn't have it. And while we were thinking what we were doing, because the enemy was going after us, they gave us within 3 months. The people fighting you, they receive order from the governor. They should give us this land. Then they are giving us time limit. Within 3 months, you pay or the thing will be revoked. Then our enemy is waiting for quick, pray himself, we should not be able to. And while they are, somebody is coming with 50 million naira to give us. And I'm asking, what do you do, sir? He said, you know, man of God, I cannot lie before you. I deal in cocaine. Vessel of dishonor. There are pastors. In fact, I told him, sorry, you came to the wrong place. And he left. 1 week after, Chinedu, I don't know if Chinedu Eke is here. He told him, now your pastor, maybe another pastor collected this 50 million naira. When I want too much, I don't die of poverty. That pastor that collected it is a vessel of dishonor. Dishonor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a vessel of dishonor. Dishonor. You cannot tell people the truth. You are not ready to do this to honor your God. Because your stomach is your God. You can bend the scripture for anything at all. Because he's a multi-millionaire playing football in Europe. Flew down here to see me, had a problem that I prayed and God answered. But before I prayed, I looked at him, he put this their crazy hair. And he's an international footballer, a popular name in Europe. I don't want to call your name now. And I said, what is this on your head? And I'm sure pastors have been praying for you. And they didn't tell you that you look like an animal. You know you don't look like a human being. Come on, remove that. And I opened the Bible to show him. If you like, put offering. If you like, don't put offering. Praise the Lord. I am not a preacher for offering. Therefore, I will speak as a vessel unto honor. Therefore, hallelujah. Hallelujah. who are these prophets that were telling me that they saw some people in Lago that they know? They said, we don't see you for church again. He said, now your pastor, where they lay calls every time upon people, where they come bring offering. Eh? You want to cost for my business? Make I go put offering there, make it they cost me. That's why I no come. Cocaine poop. And I still lay that cost. Any offering that you know God cannot accept and you bring it here, you are looking for trouble. Oh. Any offering you do Yahoo Yahoo and you bring tithe or any offering from Yahoo Yahoo money, amen, and you bring it to Brother Assembly Church, wallahi talahi, that is the end of your life. Now, I am not cursing you. I am telling you a fact. You are choking finger in the eye of God. You are insulting your maker. Don't do that. Reverend God, fear him. He's not a human being. Don't come to him like you come to a human being. Don't go and cheat anybody. You are serving your master. Don't go and steal his money and bring tithe. You will suffer. You will never prosper. Serve God with fear and trembling. Stop that. Amen. Does it mean we don't want money? See, even now we need money. Please, during offering, bring money. If you have. Therefore, amen. If a sinner confidently comes to you, a gifted brother, a gifted sister, and is not afraid because he knows, some even confess to you, waiting at the do, see waiting at the do, and you still bless that person, you are a vessel of dishonor. And this is it. When God, hallelujah, when that person is coming to you, he's actually not coming to you, he's coming to the God that speaks to you. Therefore, God said he will answer that person by himself. Maybe let me break it down. The example that is very common now. Amen. Okay, let me give you two examples. One is in the area of marriage. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And for any reason, you choose an unbeliever to be the one you want to marry, man or woman. For any other reason other than the fact that he's a Christian. Just because he has some money from a rich background, she's pretty, she's beautiful, she has money from a rich background, and yet, amen. Why do you people marry later on and discover that the man is occult? How you not know say he be occult before? You are looking at the money he has. You are not looking at his faith. There is no occult man that will join you to pray. There is no occult man that will join you to pray in the name of Jesus. Let's go to church. Now, don't worry. Now, they go my own. You know, you go, they go, your, they go my own. All the signs were there, but you want to, all the money you need, he gives you. But the Bible says, in all our ways, we shall acknowledge God and he shall direct our paths. So let me go for direction. The Bible has already given you direction concerning marriage. Which direction are you going again? Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. But there is a prophet that you know. Even if it is not the will of God, he will pray it to happen. Once I can give him an offering. You carry the offering and you go. Amen. This, while before you open the office, while you are at the gate there, the prophet has already seen your vision. As you are entering, he's calling your name, calling everything, calling. Chop. Wow! The man you want to marry is like this. The woman you want to marry is from Mbise. I don't know why Mbise, they enter my mouth every time like this. Praise the Lord. And then you will stand up. I went, the Lord say he's my husband. The Lord say he's my husband. Did the Lord say so? Yes. He answered you by himself. But after that, when you marry that man finished, then you will know which God who spoke to you. And for being the type of prophet that such people can come and inquire from you, after he has used you, he will again destroy you. A perfect example is that of Balaam. And you can read the story of Balaam in Numbers chapter, the whole chapter, chapter 22. You can read that on your own. But we know the story. Balaam. Amen. He was amen. He was a vessel of God, though. Praise the Lord. He was a vessel of God. Anytime you wanted to inquire anything, come to him, he will come before the Creator and inquire. And he was not a soothsayer. He was a prophet, a seer. This was the story there that Moab, the king of Moab, King Balak, heard that Israel left Egypt and they are passing through their land to the promised land. And he has heard how they have destroyed other nations on the way who tried to stand on their way, and decided that to hire him to come and curse Israel. You know why I laugh? There are gifted brothers and sisters that people carry names to give them. They go to the mountain to curse those names. Anybody that gives you a praying assignment against another human being to destroy another human being, the only reason that you will go for that assignment is the same reason that Balaam went on this assignment for Balak. He inquired. He said, wait, oh, me or my own ministry. Amen. Don't say you are not a fornicator until you are able to escape temptation by a woman or by a man. Don't say you are not a liar until you are boxed to a situation where the only way to escape is to lie. And you refuse to lie. Then you can say, I am not a liar. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't say, you see me? I don't compromise the word of God. I don't compromise the word of God. See me? I don't. Before you say, I don't compromise, there were temptations that came your way and you overcame. Don't say so that you don't compromise. Because very soon you could not compromise because you just marry new, brother. You don't marry new. No much liabilities. Satan knows how to box all of us. House rent is waiting for you. Children's school fees is waiting for you. Never bill, they have caught the light. Your mama in the village is calling you. Your papa is in the hospital. And your car has broken down. And they have increased fuel price. And then the person you borrow, all the debtors, police here, police there. And then somebody is coming to you. I have this. If you can pray, I promise you 10 million naira. What? Amen. And you can still say, no, sir, I don't pray this type of prayer for anybody. Then you have won. Then you have won. Praise the Lord. You heard our brother Cosmos Maduka, how at his word, they gave somebody 18 billion naira loan from a bank that he had shares of about 25% ownership of that bank. So since he has shared 25% ownership, it's more than that amount of money. Therefore, just with mouth, okay, give him the loan. And they gave him, since you are the one. And remember, he said, there is only one commodity that is very scarce in Nigeria. That commodity is integrity. So it's very, very scarce to get men that have integrity. Integrity. Even in this church. Even in this church. Barrister Davidson, we were discussing yesterday how people here that you thought have credibility, they borrow their money. Brethren, we stand shorty for them. Collect money, pay back. They turn their back and they are gone. Integrity. Now, that person is unable to pay back that money. Then they are running to him. Then they remember that the man didn't sign anything, no. The man didn't sign anything, no. And this man that borrowed money from him is not ready to pay back. And the money is so much, the bank can go down. 18 billion naira given to one person, one cobble, he's refusing to pay. And then they quickly put the papers together so that if Central Bank will come and EFCC come, they will say, see the person that guaranteed it so that they can pursue him. And then everybody in the company said, you didn't sign, so you are not liable. Everybody said, even including his immediate family, said, don't go and sign. No. And the managing director is speaking, please, sir, you know you are the one that made us to give this man this money. Sir, just sign that you are the guarantor so that you will pay back the money. Or at least save us. They know the implication. He said that is one of his biggest tests of his Christian integrity. And you heard what he said. The next day, without confiding with anybody, sleeping, battling with his heart, because this means all that he labored in the Koscharis group for years is going to crumble. And he said he walked to the bank. The next day, I still have, they know me to be a Christian. I must prove it now. And he went to the bank and said, bring those documents and let me sign. He said he signed it and he found peace came upon him. And he said he got home. I shouted his wife. He said, I have won. I have won. I don't win. I don't win. And the wife was asking, what do you win? He said, I have signed it. The wife said, and what do you win with that? He said, I have won the test of integrity. I have won. Your word must be yea and yea, nay and nay. But where do you find that these days? Where do you find that these days? Even common courtship, man and woman, even within the church. I will marry you, you marry me, we agree, finish. Small time, you see another girl. This one, not picking this one, call again. Don't face another one. Those shameless people. No integrity. And they are doing that, and they are the same church with that girl here. And they are taking communion together. And they are falling down and saying, that said the Lord. A vessel of dishonor. Because you are making a child of God to cry. There are some sisters you don't see in this church again. It's because they cannot stand the shame of a brother they had known was going out with them. Suddenly, he cut off. And he's now with another sister. Oh, glory be to God. And so I don't compromise. So Balaam said, wait, let me go and inquire. Balaam went and inquired. And God told him, the perfect will. Hey. He said, these people come in, you don't know them, they are my children. I have blessed them, you can't curse them. Church, whom God has blessed, no man can curse. No, you don't understand. Eh? If God blesses me, no one can curse me. How many people can proudly say, I am blessed of the Lord? I am blessed, I am blessed. I cannot be cursed. Therefore, with this confidence I have, then one man will come and say, they do invocation incantation against me. I won't even do VG for you. Because I know my angel will go and talk to you in the night. When he slap you for that your mouth, you will wake up, you won't be able to speak again with that mouth. And Balaam woke up in the morning and met the people that King Balak sent. This is what God said, oh, my hand no day. Oh, perfect. They went back. Balak said, increase the present, the gifts you sent to him. They loaded more money. Before it was hundreds of thousands, now millions. And they came again. That the man said you should go again and find out. And then Balaam looked at the gift. He said, what? Wait, let me go and inquire again. Amen. This time again, the second time now, God told him, you can go. God now permitted him the second time he should go. Now listen now. That answer that God gave Balaam, he was giving him according to the idol of his heart. You already know my perfect will. Why are you going again to inquire again? I have told you my perfect will. Why are you coming? It's because of that money you are coming to me. Therefore, I will answer you by myself. Go. But take note. Immediately, God said I should go. Bella, where are you going? The Lord said, the Lord has sent me to him. To. Praise God. Amen. Anybody that you hear him say, I heard the voice of the Lord, don't doubt it. The only thing you do is bring it to the scripture. The perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Bring it to the Bible. If it doesn't flash on the Urim and Thummim, the Bible is our Urim and Thummim, as was used in the Old Testament, to confirm if this is the word of the Lord. Now, the fact that it does not match with the scripture does not mean it is not God that has spoken. It may not be a demon that spoke. For that person to confidently act on what he had, he is sure, she is sure, she heard from God. Hallelujah. But it may be God answering you according to the idol of your heart, like he answered Balaam. And, oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And Balaam went. But as Balaam was going, something happened. Amen. The angel of God was waiting there in front with a sword to finish him. Do you understand me? The angel of God was waiting with a sword to kill him. But God said you should go. Why is the angel of God waiting again to kill you? Although he was saved by his animal, read the remaining story of Balaam. Balaam was still destroyed later. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 6. In Jeremiah chapter 4.
Jeremiah 4, 6.
Yes.
Set up the standard towards Zion.
Uh-huh.
Retire, stay not.
Read it up to verse 10. Listen very well.
For I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction.
What again? I will do what?
I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction.
He's telling Israel. He's telling Jerusalem. What will he do?
I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction.
Go on.
The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant.
Nebuchadnezzar is on his way, coming up to destroy the land of Israel.
For this, guide you with sackcloth, laments, and awe. For the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes, and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder.
Now, verse 10.
Then said I, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived these people and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul.
Read verse 10 again.
Then said I, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly
deceived these people
and Jerusalem.
And the Jerusalem, they are
saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul.
When did he tell them, ye shall have peace? The prophets that we are on ground, we are prophesying to the people, it is well. All is well. All is well. They were prophesying to the whole world how the year 2020 shall be a year of prosperity. They were prophesying how that this year, this will happen, mighty things, there will be mighty revival, economy of the whole world will boom, unknown to them. And they were saying, thus said the Lord, thus said the Lord, by the Spirit of God. They were saying it by the Spirit of God. That's why Jeremiah said, thou hast deceived these people and the Jerusalem, saying it is well. Meanwhile, coronavirus is on the way coming. Meanwhile, these mighty, mighty prophets, it is well, it is well. Did they see coronavirus coming? No. These mighty, mighty prophets, mighty, mighty preachers, even with great ministries, trying to unite the whole religions of the world together for the purpose of peace. Do they know that very soon the rapture will take place and that the signs that are going on now are the signs of the soon coming of the Lord? Do they know it? No. What are their conventions for? What are their programs for? To tell the people it is well. A wicked and adulterous generation, you are telling them it is well, it is well. A God-forsaken generation, it is well, it is well. Sinful, abominable generation, you are saying it is well, it is well. I have not seen any preacher crying and sobbing against the abomination that are taking place on this earth. And all you hear them say, it is well, it is well. Meanwhile, nations are breaking and Israel's awaking. The signs that the prophet foretold, the Gentile disnumbered with horrors in combat. In time, it is soon will uphold.
Hallelujah.
The day of redemption is near.
Men's heart
are failing for fear.
Be filled with the Spirit.
Your lamps streamed and clear. One of these days, the whole world will know that these prophets telling you it is well, it is well, it is well, they are nothing but another 400 prophets of Ahab. Ahab and his wife killed an innocent man aboard. The whole of that story in 1 Kings chapter 21 and chapter 22. Killed an innocent man and collected his land. And Elijah was sent when they were going to inspect the land. I'm paraphrasing that story. Read it in details. It's very, very instructive. Amen. And before you know what, the prophet prophesied how he and his wife will die for doing that. But time went on and it looks as if God has forgotten that prophecy. Time went on, the same thing that is happening, 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8, 9 and 10. If I read it from verse 1, the same setting that is on now.
This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you.
Yes.
In both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance.
Yes.
That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that they shall come in the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming?
Where is the promise of his coming? Next verse.
Verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming?
Yes.
For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For these they willingly are ignorant of.
You are saying, see 2,000 years, the Lord is coming soon. The Lord is coming soon, Abby. See 2,000 years, every time the Lord is coming soon. The Lord is coming soon. Go ahead. You are willingly what?
Ignorant of. For these they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old.
Once he speaks, it comes to pass.
And the earth standing out of the water and in the water.
Yes.
Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years.
So don't think he has taken long. Wait, go ahead.
And a thousand years as one day.
Yes.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise.
He is not slack. He is not slack concerning his promise.
As some men count slackness.
Yes.
But is long suffering towards what? not willing that any should perish.
He's giving you time to do what?
But that all should come to repentance.
All should come to repentance. But now, verse 10, notice it.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief.
It will come, Ahab.
In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
This world will melt. Elements hanging out there will melt. Everything you see here, the earth also, go on.
The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up.
Everything on earth here shall be burnt up. And verse 11.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise,
we, the bride of Jesus Christ,
look for new heavens and
new
earth.
We are looking for new heaven and a new earth,
wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Ahab forgot that once God speaks, he watches over his word to perform it. And God knows the right setting to quicken his word. You are not right with God, and you want to go out for a battle. You are not right with God, and you want to go and fight a battle. All of a sudden, he said there's a piece of land called Ramoth Gilead that they should go and conquer. It belonged to Israel. King Jehoshaphat came to join him also. Convince him that they should go. We know the story. I'm paraphrasing it because of time. And all of a sudden, Jehoshaphat was the one, the spiritual one, that reminded him, let's inquire now. You know, every battle we must inquire. Don't you have prophets? He said, Haba, I have 400 of them. 400 prophets that eat from his table. Somebody, catch, but he was, they were taken care of from Asorok. They are the ones that go to the presidency for special prayers. They are the ones that are representatives of the Christian nation in Nigeria. When you want to take any decision concerning Christians, they are the ones that are invited to the presidency. They are president's prophets. King Ahab's prophets. He said he has not one, not two, 400. And as soon as he sent for them to come, God in heaven said, yeah, opportunity has come. He too had his own meeting in heaven. The Bible put it that way. Micaiah was the one that saw it and said, wait, I beg, what shall we do to make Ahab actually go for that battle? And this one brought this idea, and he said none was suitable enough. The Bible said a lying spirit that goeth to and fro also saw that meeting and said, Daddy, is there anything I can do? You know my ministry now. What's your ministry? Okay, oh, you are the lying spirit. How will you do it? He said, I will go and lie to them so that they will prophesy to him to make him go for that battle. God is saying, That is my servant. God doesn't go ahead. Bible says, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, all that prophecy, immediately they came, 400 of them were prophesying the same thing. 400 say, go, it belongs to you. Go, the land belongs to a murderer. Go, victory is for you, murderer. Go. No, it is well. And all of them spoke the same thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the fact that everybody is saying the same thing does not make it right. He It's not evident that it is right. But Joshua was not too comfortable. He said, maybe they were prophesying like a celeb people. All of them. You know the anointing will be excess. Because it is supposed to make Ahab believe. So it will not be the normal prophecy. It will be real, real prophecy. So confident. But Joshua said, is this all you have? 400. You are still asking for another one? Then Ahab spoke the truth. There is one. Oh. May the Lord depend on me.
Loyalty is but his will. Say of spirit great and true.
The hidden
depend on you.
Now one doesn't say anything good concerning me. Joshua said, no, don't talk like that now. Call him to come. The man that they sent to him was another prophet. Look, 400 prophets have said this. Don't go and talk another thing and create confusion. He said, is it not what God show me how we talk? When I say, no, be God to show una. If God show una, why are they calling me again? And immediately he came. Hallelujah. You know there was a drama there. When you are confident, you are